K540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn. A teen opened fire at his high school today in Winder, Georgia.
My son actually called me while it was going on inside the classroom. Like, I was inside the store and I heard him hollering and screaming and crying. I hear all the commotion in the background. And I just dropped everything. Yeah, the school never called. I just dropped everything and sprinted to the car.
CBS's Allison Keyes reports four people were killed.
Chris Hosey at the Georgia Bureau of Investigation identified those killed.
Of those that are deceased, two were students and two were teachers.
Hosey says the 14-year-old gunman is a student at the school who surrendered to law enforcement officers.
Once they encountered the subject immediately surrendered to these officers, and he was taken into custody.
Still no clue on a motive. From a campaign event in New Hampshire, Vice President Harris addressed the massacre.
It's just outrageous that every day in our country, in the United States of America, that parents have to send their children to school worried about whether or not their child will come home alive.
Meanwhile, both presidential candidates are getting ready for next week's debate, and our Linda Kenyon tells us about the rules.
The rules, which were set when the debate was originally going to be between President Biden and former President Trump, calls for muted mics when it is not a candidate's turn to speak. There had been some speculation about whether this debate would happen after Biden ended his reelection bid, but now it appears to be set for Tuesday night and will be hosted by ABC.
A new mpox vaccine could be on the way. Galit Alter with Moderna says it induced really robust immune responses in the preclinical trials.
Those responses are able to provide protection, 100% protection against the lethal challenge with the monkeypox virus. But we also see that the vaccine induces immune responses that can also attenuate the pathology associated with disease.
More Americans than ever are struggling to feed their families. Claire Bobano-Fontano is with Feeding America.
47.4 million people are food insecure. 13.8 million children. This in the richest country in the history of civilization. We need to be mad about it, and we need to do some things about it.
Someone drilled a hole in the Midtown Tunnel in New York, causing water from the East River to leak in. Whose fault was it?
We determined it was the drilling contractor who drilled about a 2.5-inch hole.
That's Catherine Sheridan, the president of MTA Bridges and Tunnels. They had to fully shut the tunnel down to traffic. It's been partially backed open now. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The mayor of Waukesha is condemning a campaign ad that tries to link Senator Tammy Baldwin with the deaths of six people at the Waukesha Christmas Parade in 2021. Daryl Brooks Jr. was free on $1,000 bail at the time. Sean Riley says the claims in the ad are false and that they hurt the entire community. About 50,000 older people in Wisconsin can expect big savings on their prescriptions next year. Starting January 1st, out-of-pocket drug costs will be capped at $2,000 a year for people on Medicare Part D.
We have older Wisconsinites that are choosing either limiting their supply of their prescriptions, or they literally are taking resources that are used to pay for other essentials.
David Bowen is with AARP Wisconsin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The NFL season is now just hours away. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Green Bay Packers will open up the season Friday night in Brazil against the Philadelphia Eagles. Coach Matt LaFleur says Green Bay can get off to a good start this week.
This is a great stage to be on. We're going to be the only game on in the world, and you get to go do it in a place that's never been done before. So it's a great opportunity for our guys to go out there and show what they're all about.
Kickoff for the Packers and Eagles is after 7 p.m. on Friday. Tomorrow night, the Ravens and Chiefs get the NFL season started. The St. Louis Cardinals were able to move a game back up in the standings behind the Brewers with a 7-4 win in 12 innings last night. The game was tied at 3 going into extras before St. Louis got 3 runs in the 12th inning to win. Now Milwaukee is 10 games up on the Cubs and 11 on the Cardinals going into Wednesday night's series finale with St. Louis. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games right here on Civic Media this week. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly clear sky this evening, increasing clouds overnight, lows mid-50s. Sun and cloud mix for tomorrow with a couple of storms around, high low 80s. Cooler for the rest of the week and weekend. Highs in the mid-60s Friday and Saturday, low 70s Sunday. Currently at 75 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll talk to a candidate for assembly way up north in this week's Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to dine and dash, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. You know, Mary said something I wanted to use. We have a similar promo, and I was going to surprise her with that, but I totally forgot to tell you, Conrad, so my bad. Jim from Appleton says, worst job I ever had, probably roofing. My foreman was a new college graduate who thought he knew everything. I hope that he learned things after most of the crew left. Jim, sticking it to the man. All right, roofing, that's a bad job, that hot tar. Mary, have you ever had a bad job before you were, not gig, but like job before you did stand-up?
Yeah, I taught beginning band. I would have rather roofed.
Yeah. That bad, huh?
Well, I'll tell you, it makes stand-up comedy real easy because you're just hoping for silence. Like, it's really... It was really loud and really tough. And those kids were so sweet. But I always called it the job from hell. Like somebody went down there, scooped up some of that molten lava, brought it back up and said, behold, flutes and recorders. Yeah. The way they treated you, too, they always kept you, like they always kept a band teacher and the art teacher at a special end of the school, like right. They called us the specials,
right?
And so yeah, and that's like you had this leper colony of little kids running around breaking instruments, being, you know, and I loved the kids, but it was just a lot of noise, and I didn't get a assistant, so I was
that's terrible.
A little too young for it. I did that out of college, and
kids can be jerks.
It was educational, and it sure lit a fire under my butt to do something else.
Okay, the voice of Mary Mack. You can check out her. She is in Green Lake, September 7th. That is this Saturday, I believe. Go to MaryMackComedy.com, and there is more information on her tour dates throughout Wisconsin. Do you like smaller crowds, Mary? Like, that Thrasher Opera House is so quaint, and it sounds like they really pack them in.
I think it's the perfect size. I think if they do, it's 200 seats that we do, and I love it. That's like the perfect size crowd, because then if you get into a bigger theaters, it's a little harder, I think, in my opinion, with timing. You get used to it, but it's a bigger space is a little different acoustically when you're talking, and the echoing and the timing is a little bit different. And sometimes people say, oh, that's just from the stage. But, you know, some venues you go in and there is an echo when you sit in the crowd. And it throws off where the laugh should be and when they hear something and when you hear something. So, boy, that was like, you probably didn't want that much of an in-depth.
I was thinking, when you were talking, I was thinking like about timing. And you said you had two music degrees, you taught music. So many, when I was a comedian, I noticed, and I'm not a musician, I play like bad acoustic guitar, but there were so many comedians who were also musical. And what is that in your experience? Is it timing? Is it the delivery of a joke can be musical? Do you equate the two in any way?
That's a great question. I don't know. I have ran into a few other music teacher comedians too, but you know, it might just be the creativity, and it's really awesome. Like when I started doing comedy, I couldn't believe I didn't have to carry anything, and that was amazing. I didn't have to help the drummer tear down, or the tuba's huge, and it's just like it's so simple, and you can do it in a small enough space without a mic or anything. It's just it can be so simple that's maybe one of the cool things about it.
That's so funny you said that, because I remember when I would work the road, and oftentimes they would have, especially if it was like a small one-nighter and not a big club, they would have a band coming in after. And these poor guys would be setting up their equipment for 2 hours, then the comedy show would start, and then they would go up, and when they were done, they had to break. Yeah. They didn't get out of there till 4 a.m, and they were probably making less than the comedians.
I know. So I run a variety show, and in fact, I just turned it into a podcast. I've been doing this show for 18 years.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. In the last 2 years, I've done it really a big show. It's a it's not like a regular. It's more like a Johnny Carson show where it's you're just
nice.
I'm integrated into all the stuff, and I keep the show moving, and we turn it into a podcast. But I try to compensate for that, because I remember thinking this whole band is making what I'm making, and so I try to pay the bands as fair as I can, and it's pretty similar between what eight people in a band, what they're getting and what the comic's getting normally. So
which is awful.
It's something I try to make reparations to the musicians for that.
I remember thinking, I don't care if I was a music prodigy or how passionate I was, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't play music if I had to set up all my own equipment. I know I sound like a diva.
I know, and
on.
What a bummer for piano players. Like right. Now that everything's gone, to digital keyboard for the most part. It used to be you could have some leverage, like, oh, you don't have a piano? I guess I can't be there. Now, they just expect you to show up with your amp and your keyboard and your everything else. So it's become a different type of a job. It's become a moving job for them.
Yeah. I love this. I'm on your website right now. It says North Star Comedy Hour Podcast. Tell people when they can hear that and how often you put new ones out. That's a great title, by the way.
Thanks. Yeah. My rate of it's so hard to edit these shows down, just because I do about a 50-minute first half and a 50-minute second half, and that becomes two episodes of a podcast.
Okay.
But it's just, for me, I also have like a 6-camera shoot that I do. So someday I'll maybe do a Patreon, or I'm trying to pitch it to PBS, because it's a real clean, it moves like a Prairie Home Companion type of a show. And so I think it would be really good on there, but I just have so many things that, I'm my own PR, I'm my own booker, I guess I have some help with that, but, my mom, I'm her primary caregiver. So it's like, when I can get one out there, that's when it gets out there. And I think so far I just started it, and I think I'm averaging probably one a month. And I have 12, 13, 14 in the can. But it just takes forever to get it done,
Absolutely.
That's why I can see why people like to just sit down with a mic and have a podcast and just have a guest and do a couple mics and get it out there. But I just couldn't, I just love a show, and I've been doing the show so long, North Star Comedy Hour, that I'm like, why don't we just record it? And I get to highlight all these wonderful, talented people that are, I think I've mostly taken from the Midwest. I had one gal flying from L.A. for comedy, but it's just such an honor to bring them. I do it in Hayward, or I did it in Bayfield at Big Top Chautauqua a couple weeks ago. Yeah, and to show the people these acts that they might not know because, you know, they're not going to be in the Spotify algorithm, but they are really good acts. So it's like a passion project of mine.
That's great. And the nice thing about podcasts is you don't have to really adhere to any kind of, it's not like a network TV show or radio show. You just do it when you can. So do you, all right, so you do voice work, you do stand up, you put these shows together. What is your favorite element of everything you do? And what would you want to take to the next level of those mediums?
Oh, wow. That's such a great question.
Thank you, Mary.
I got to tell you, my favorite thing is running this variety show, this because I get to write. I write sketches for it. I love writing the most. So, and I get to perform. I do a couple monologues, and I interact with everybody, and I do a game show. It's just so much fun. I would love to do that as just my job, you know.
That's great.
I have a little team now, but like a tech guy and a camera guy and a producer for the live portions, but I would just love for that to be its own thing because it's just so much fun. And people leave so happy. It's so fun to get the emails. I get a contact form and to get the emails from people who brought their mom or their grandma and they had a good time. It just really, it's so fun to, it's so fulfilling. And I like learning about acts I may not have known about. So that's my favorite thing.
That's great. So keep us posted on that. We would love to know when you do another one, and we will talk to you about that and see if we can check it out as well. That sounds so fun.
Yeah,
we have about a minute left. This has been so much fun getting to know you, but I have to ask you, because I ask a lot of guests, what are you watching on TV, or can you recommend a good movie?
You know, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I do. I got to tell you, I only watch like BritBox. I watch British TV because I don't want anything too good to happen too fast. Because I'm just trying to go to sleep. So and it takes me about a year to get through like two detective shows. Like you know, I do like a Poirot, or I'm on Lewis right now, which is like related to Morse, that one. And Endeavor is too intense for me. But yeah, England's real strict with their shows. They're like, by the ninth season it better get good. And that's the type of show I like, because I don't have to take sleeping medication if I watch those type of shows. So I just recommend getting on BritBox or Acorn and watching all the mysteries.
It's like the sleeping pill of television. Whatever works, that's what's important. Mary, thank you so much. Have a great night. Good luck with the rest of the tour. I hope you blow the roof off the dump on Saturday. Not the dump. That's a phrase. The Thrasher Opera House is beautiful. But I
will be at the dump shortly. It's Wednesdays and Saturdays up here, just so you guys know in case you were interested.
That's the Conrad, that's the promo I wanted to play. I have these funny lines, I hope anyway, in and out of breaks. And I say, and one of them is Peach Waba, a guy who likes to talk trash, but only when he's at the dump. So we could have further bonded over the dump tonight, but... great stuff, Mary. Thank you so much. Let's do this again soon, and good luck with the tour.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
That's Mary Mack. Check out MaryMackComedy.com. All things Mary Mack is there. She's very funny. How have we not had her on sooner, Conrad?
I don't know.
All right. We're coming right back with Rose Abdu from the show Hacks. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. Don't let the tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks that the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands. Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, they'll fight to get you the best deal possible. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You've seen her dressed in blue. See the sky in front of you. And her face is like a sail.
Welcome back. Well, that was fun. I love that we were in a hurry to get to the break. Because during the show, we have these breaks that are built in, and we have to throw to the break or we just get cut off. So Conrad's telling me to wrap it up, as he does sometimes if I cut it too close. And I asked a question while you were waving your finger to wrap it up, and I said, how have we not had her on the show before? And you just said, I don't know.
You know me so well, Pete.
You're like, I don't know, but just get to the break. This has been, yeah. Okay. So I said before I was kind of crabby. I don't know if you noticed that, Conrad. When I got here, I'm a little sleep deprived. I had a long day. It was a long day yesterday. And here's why I'm pretty good about preparing. I don't like to be unprepared, whether it's for a show, a gig, or whatever, a script I send out. It's typically the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed. Something happened yesterday when I was heading to Madison, because I do some TV work for PBS Wisconsin. So I get up this morning pretty early, and I realize I have no product for my hair. This is an on-camera gig. I have no product. I forgot my belt and my two shirt options. So I wore the wrinkly shirt I wore last night on last night's show that I'm also wearing tonight because I had no shirts, and none of the stores are open. It's before 10 o'clock. None of the stores are open. I couldn't go buy a shirt. So I had to show up early, iron this bowling shirt, and wear that to introduce the movies. So I was kind of crabby. So if I said anything on the air that offended a listener, all I'll say is, you all get crabby too sometimes. Suck it up. No, was I that bad when I got here? It was nice to you, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were really, bad? Something else there.
Something else. That's actually a compliment. All right, we have Rose Abdu showing up shortly. She is working out some computer stuff. I don't know, like, what. Okay, so we were talking about, I saw this really cool thing on Facebook, and it was Johnny Cash and Kris Kristofferson. Kris Kristofferson told this great story. Everything I hear about Kris Kristofferson, I love. He helped John Prine get started, and Steve Goodman. They were friends, and Kris Kristofferson came out to their show, and he watched them, helped them, went to New York with them, got them started. And if you're wondering where that kind of good-natured, you know, just being a good guy comes from, here's something I saw on Facebook that I just loved. It's not written all that well, but it's a page called Beautiful Things You Must See. And here it is. Johnny Cash once demanded that Kris Kristofferson, who was a janitor at the time for Columbia Records, be allowed to sit in on one of his recording sessions. And it all started with Kristofferson being banned from Johnny's recording sessions. Kris, in his own words, Kristofferson says, "I almost got fired one time because a couple of songwriters crashed the session and they were trying to pitch him a gospel album. And for some reason, the woman who was the secretary to the producer blamed me for letting them in there and tried to get me fired. And so the next night, my boss came down and said, I don't think you should go to John's session tonight, which was heartbreaking for me because I lived for those recording sessions, but I understood it." So he gets booted. He He says, Johnny was not happy to hear that Chris wouldn't be sitting in on the recording session. Christofferson says, I hid down in the vault of the recording studio and was erasing tapes down there or doing some kind of busy work, and John appeared down there in the basement. He said, I understand you're not coming to the session. I said, no, I've got a lot of work to do down here. I can't. So cool, too, that he didn't throw people under the bus. And he could have. He said, well, I just wanted to tell you, Johnny Cash says, well, I just wanted to tell you, I'm going to record until you come up there. I'm not going to record until you come up there. So I had to go up there and sit on the floor. Christofferson says, and here I was, the janitor, and I'm sitting on the floor, and this woman who tried to get me fired was watching me, and the whole session, it was the most uncomfortable I've ever been in my life. But I thought it was the measure of the man. He always stood up for the underdog, and that's something I've tried to live up to. He's been a good example. Those are Kris Kristofferson's words talking about who Johnny Cash really was. I absolutely love that story because we had Peter Jest on the show who wrote a book about his concert hall, Schenck Hall, in Milwaukee. We had him on about a month ago. And apparently, throughout the interview, he talked about how he became very good friends with John Prine, who is one of my favorite songwriters of all time. Just a phenomenal talent. Well, John Prine tells a story about how Kris Kristofferson saw his friend Steve Goodman at a club in Chicago. Kris had come up from Nashville, stopped in at this club in Chicago, saw Steve Goodman, and Steve Goodman said, you really should see my friend John Prine. So Kris Kristofferson, I think, brought both of them to New York. He heard John Prine, loved him, took them both to New York. They both got record contracts. I mean, that's like four great guys. You do not hear about paying it forward like that. Johnny Cash helps Kris Kristofferson. Kris Kristofferson never forgets it. Helps Steve Goodman. Steve Goodman helps his friend John Prine before Steve Goodman has even done anything or recorded anything. The first thing he says to Kris Kristofferson is, you really need to hear my friend John Prine. I don't even understand. Like most people, and myself included at times, I whenever I would help someone, it was always when I thought someone would listen to me. I didn't want to put them in a weird position. And I think most people are like that. It's like, I can't really help you. This guy barely knows me, but I'll give you his email, but I can't. Steve Goodman went the extra mile before he even had accomplished anything with Kris Kristofferson and brought John Prine into the mix too. And it worked out for all of them. Johnny Cash to Kris Kristofferson to Steve Goodman to John Prine, all incredible talents with almost no egos. Like they have egos, but not arrogant. They're comfortable enough in their talent to help someone else and not feel a threat from them. Really incredible stuff. And I like Chris. I barely know. I probably know five Kris Kristofferson songs, but I am going to search out his catalog and listen to more of him because I know he's a huge talent. It's just never, I think he was a Nashville guy. I'm not really a huge country fan, although I know a lot of Johnny Cash. But that's on my list. Conrad, what kind of music you listen to?
Not that.
Not what?
Johnny Cash or...
Oh, you don't like Johnny Cash?
Well, I can't say I don't like him, but...
Yeah. What did he ever do to you?
I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that. I think that's great. So we'll talk more about that. And I want to read more. That's kind of a cool face. I like people that are willing to put pages up that other people really get into, and it shares information like that because I just think it's so great. All right, so we have I think we'll do the news first, K-Man, and then we'll come back and introduce Rose. This is very exciting. Rose is on the show Hacks, the HBO show with Gene Smart. Very funny show. And Rose is very funny on it. And it's just such an incredible cast. And we're going to talk to Rose. I've been trying to get her on the show for a while. She's actually been on the show before with her husband, John Matta, who does these great Matta napkins. And the two of them were on. They were so great together. And now we've got Rose on. And we'll do that after the I think we'll bring Rose on after the news, Conrad. Sound good?
Yep.
All right. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight. When we come back, after Civic Media's award-winning news, we're going to talk to one of the cast members of Hacks. Rose Abdu is here. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait to talk to her. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it. So don't stop. And under the lights.
Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A 14-year-old gunman kills at least four people, including two students, and wounds nine others when police say he opened fire at a high school in Georgia. This man has a son at the Appalachian High School.
We checked his backpack. He got a bullet hole from one side of his backpack to the other side. We opened his book bag up and it grazed his laptop.
The Biden administration announces criminal charges and the seizure of internet domains related to Russian disinformation efforts to influence the presidential election. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
We will be relentlessly aggressive in countering and disrupting attempts by Russia and Iran, as well as China or any other foreign malign actor, interfere in our elections.
National Security Spokesman John Kirby on the U.S. working on an Israel-Hamas ceasefire deal.
We're acting in complete concert with our Israeli counterparts and our other counterparts in the region to try to get this over the finish line.
CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A University of Wisconsin study finds the state's voter ID law causes voter confusion and disenfranchisement. Political scientist Ken Mayer estimates anywhere between 17,000 and 24,000 Black and Democratic voters in Dane and Milwaukee counties stayed home in 2016 because of tighter voting restrictions. Social work professor Craig Burns says people shouldn't hesitate to contact campaign staffers as they make up their minds who to vote for.
Let the candidate know you're a voter in their district, and that'll kind of perk up their ears a little bit.
Burns says websites like vote411.org provide a comprehensive, nonpartisan breakdown of where candidates stand on key issues. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A controversial campaign ad attempting to connect Senator Tammy Baldwin to the 2021 Waukesha Christmas Parade attack has drawn criticism from the city's mayor. The AP reports that Sean Riley described the ad, funded by a Republican-affiliated group, as a, quote, pitiful political tool that harms the entire community. Despite claims from the ad's creators that it's not political, Mayor Riley is urging politicians to refrain from using the event for political purposes. A town hall featuring Trump campaign surrogates is scheduled for tomorrow in Milwaukee. The event, open to the public with pre-registration, includes discussions with Representative Brian Stile and former Governor Tommy Thompson. A special meeting of the Waukesha School Board is scheduled for tomorrow to interview candidates for a vacant position. They're aiming to find a replacement for Markel Moore, who stepped down from the board in July. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A mostly clear sky this evening, increasing clouds overnight. Lows mid-50s. Sun and cloud mix for tomorrow with a couple of storms around. High low 80s. Cooler for the rest of the week and weekend. Highs in the mid-60s Friday and Saturday. Low 70s Sunday. Currently at 75 degrees.
Summer may be coming to an end, but there's still time to enjoy a beer with your neighbors at Merrill Crest Park, September 5th through the 7th for Waukesha Parks, Rec, and Forestry's Neighborhood Beer Garden. Enjoy live music, food, socializing with neighbors, and of course, beer. The excitement is already brewing for this year's before and after school program as space is filled quickly. But stay tuned for so many more fun things to do. Visit the WaukeshaWI.gov activity guide for more information.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing? Dollar driver. Right, it takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you were harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us for a discussion on what's going on in her campaign for Congress. We also have J.R. Radcliffe with sports and weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome back. We are crushing Wednesday night. I don't know how I can put it more. The day was off to a bad start. I had wardrobe malfunctions at PBS. I rallied. Mary Mack was here and made us laugh. And now we've got another amazing guest, a friend of mine who is uber talented. And she's been on the show before, but she's back. She was on the show before with her husband, who is also a crazy talented individual named John Matta. And now she is here flying solo without John's help, which we'll see how that goes. But it is my pleasure to welcome actress and from the show Hacks on HBO, Rose Abdu. Hey, Rose.
Hello, Pete. It's so nice to be here.
It's so great to have you. So did John help you figure out what you needed to do?
Did he ever. You know, I might be flying solo, but it certainly isn't without John's help.
Wow.
I had some StreamYard Chrome Google issues, but everything turned out great.
Well, he is welcome to join us at any time, and I'm sure he knows that. But it's great to talk to you. It's great to have you on the show. How have you been? How is your life with John doing? Is the marriage successful still? Has there been any new developments?
No new developments.
Okay. All right, good.
Let's see. I wanted to know from you, do you count the amount of time you've been together? Like, people are like, we've been married for, we've been married since 2009. But we've been together since 2001. So
yeah,
I like from the minute we met. But John teases me that we have many anniversaries because I'm like, well, we have the anniversary of the day we met. Then we have the engagement anniversary. Then we have the marriage anniversary. Then we have, I like to get as many. Why not?
You need more things in life to be happy about. I think I did do that. Like my wife, our first date was August 11th. So for years I would kind of get excited about that. Then we got married. And then I think the longer you're married, the kind of the dating anniversary falls by the wayside a little bit, maybe. I don't know.
Well, the reason I think I might have said this to you, but I chose October 10th. We wanted 10-10-10, but we went with 10-10-09. We got married in 2009. But I remember thinking, 10-10. That was a radio station in New Jersey. John's from New Jersey. He'll never forget 10-10 wins.
Oh, man.
He'll never forget the anniversary. And it worked. He never forgets 10-10.
Let me ask you this. Have you forgot a 10-10?
No, I never have.
Oh, that's very sweet.
I'm very good with dates.
Yeah. That's so exciting. All right, well, that's good to know. All right. So you've been married 14 years then, but together for like 25 years.
There you go.
All right.
So much better at the math than I am.
Many happy returns, my friend. How is Hacks has such great writing and great acting. What is it like? It's a very basic question. What's that like being part of such a great and successful show?
I got to tell the creators, they do a companion podcast to Hacks, and I was in the one, I believe it's episode 7, season 3. And I said to them, it's my favorite show. It's such an unusual experience to be on your favorite show.
Wow.
It's like I wait for it. I almost don't want to read the whole script when they come through because I don't want to know what happens. And now we had a very exciting thing last week. We did the very first table read in person. So this show has been going on this is our fourth season, and we've never been all together in the room doing a table read.
What? Because of COVID?
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, because of COVID.
Oh my gosh.
I think it started in 2021 we started filming? Yeah. Maybe the end of 2020. I think it was the end of 2020. But we did that whole first season. I always say this to people. I didn't know what any of the crew looked like from the nose down. Everybody was in a mask. And people would say to me, is it fun to hang out with the cast? And I'm like, well, we were sitting 6 feet apart. So it was such a weird experience because I love, part of the fun, what it's being on a movie set where you kind of hang out. The hanging out between the setups of the lights is the fun part where you get to kind of chat with your castmates. Well, there
memories
was none
are
of that.
Made. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's like the fun part. So we really had to sit very far apart for that whole first two seasons, really. And then the strike was in the middle of the third season. And then Gene had a health challenge. And then everybody was getting COVID. I mean, it's really been really a bumpy road. So to have it be received so well by the audience has been incredibly gratifying because I think everyone involved knew it was something special while we're working on it.
Yeah.
It's really, to answer your question, it's a really cool show to be part of. It makes us laugh while we're doing it, that to see how it's been received when so much time has elapsed between, the first, second, and third season, it's just really, really gratifying.
I cannot recommend that show enough. Is there any, has there been any talk of a season four yet, Rose?
Yes. So last week, the table read we did, we got to read out loud episodes 401, 402, and 403.
Oh, I must have missed that. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Excellent. Well, congrats. That's great.
Thank you. Very exciting.
Jean
it's
Smart-
so funny. I have to tell you this. So I found out we were getting a season four. I was on my way to Atlanta to do a movie. And I opened my phone and it said Hacks gets renewed for season four. And they used the picture, if you watch season three, of me and Jean and Paul, we're all hugging at the end because something great happens. So they used that photo for the Deadline article, Hacks gets renewed for season four. And I'm at the airport boarding gate. I have no one to tell. So I get on the plane. The stewardess recognized me from Gilmore Girls. And I'm sitting down and the man next to me happens to be watching Hacks on his laptop. So he leans over and he goes, excuse me, can I ask, is that you? And he points to Josefina on the laptop. I said, yes, it is. And can I tell you something exciting? We got a season four. Like, he's the first person I told you. So he was like, well, I'd be more excited, but I just started season one. I go, well, tell your friends. So he texted his friends and he's like, oh my God, my friends can't believe I'm sitting next to you. Like, it was just really fun.
Is your life just a series of serendipitous moments like the 10-10 and then this issue with the... Oh, it's right there.
I think, yeah,
it's right there on
because
IMDb.
I was going to tell you this, that I met John December 1st, 2001, and we looked at like 100 houses and we live, our address is 1201.
Oh my gosh.
So things like that. I love numbers and coincidences and like, yeah.
You are about to be my new religion, Rose. I've had enough cool things I've just heard in this 5-minute conversation. So you have this great cast, all right? So, and Jean Smart, she's one of those people who, I don't know if she's like this, but when I watch her in just about everything, I'm like, I bet she's really cool in real life. You can't be that, you can't convey and exude that kind of genuineness in her, through her characters, different as they may be. Is she very likable offset?
She is. She's one of those people, like, you just want to be around her all the time. And when they say second team, I'm thrilled because then I get to go back to cast chairs now that we can sit closer to each other and chat with her. And when they go, okay, first team, we're ready for you. I'm like, oh, we just have a cool conversation. You know, she's the best. She's just wonderful and supportive and a really fun audience. Like, she's fun to make laugh off camera. She just has a great sense of humor and she's just a lot of fun to be around.
She seems, I guess the word I'm looking for is unaffected. Like,
yes,
she's confident, but probably unaffected. Is that
very down to earth person? Yeah. There's no, you know, she's a theater trained person. So she's just got like, you know, friends with the same people she came up with and doing repertory theater. And she's just a very, very cool lady. And I learned from her. All I want is to do more scenes with her where I can, you know, pick up anything from her. Yeah.
That's great to hear. I love hearing that. Rose, you've been part of so many great TV shows in various roles or time on the show. Scandal, Veep, The Middle, Mike and Molly, The Gilmore Girls, Comeback, Grey's Anatomy, Shameless, personal favorite of ours here in the Green Bay Area, Monk, because of Tony Shalhoub. When you have so much experience and so many different sets, is there a show that stood out or above and beyond the rest when it comes to like professionalism or just having fun on the set? Or is there one that was an absolute nightmare? That you feel comfortable sharing?
That's such a funny question. You know, the Monk was so much fun, but I didn't get to meet him. Mm. So I was in Larchmont, a neighborhood here in California, and I saw Tony Shalhoub, I believe with his wife at a neighboring table. And I went up to him and I went, hello, Tony, I'm your mother. because I played the mother of 13-year-old him. He was so nice to me. It was just so much fun to, like, you know, get to tell him because he wasn't there the day I had to do it. But I remember the day I did Monk as his mother, I had to drive this enormous vintage car. So, you know, the seats were so low and the steering wheels were so skinny.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, it was fun. Whenever I have to drive on camera, it's always stressful. But I was in Gilmore Girls when you said fun set came to mind because I had grown up watching All in the Family and loved, absolutely adored Sally Struthers as Gloria on All in the Family. And I loved when Liz Torres was there as the upstairs. I think she rented a room from the Bunkers and she played Teresa. That's all I remember. But I just remember thinking, if, you know, young me watching television in Southfield, Michigan, if you would have told 10-year-old me, oh, you're going to be on set one day with Sally Struthers and Liz Torres, I would have just fainted straight away. So I got to hang out with them, and hanging out with them in between scenes on Gilmore Girls sticks out in my memory as being some really fun experience that I've had at work.
That is, I love stories like that. I absolutely love when you, the path or the journey that takes you to a point where you've gone, okay, you know, and even if you didn't become friends with them or anything like that, it's like, all right, I made a good decision about my life. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, this is pretty cool.
It catches me off guard sometimes, because I think they were my, I loved television. So they were my friends from TV.
Right.
Then they
were
my friends in real life. Like, I'll never forget, this isn't a on-camera story, but I got to do a play in Chicago with the Apollo Theater, The Odd Couple, the female version.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, I used to watch things like The Odd Couple and think, well, I want to be Felix or Oscar. You know, I've always had that, where like, I'd watch Glengarry Glen Ross, the play, and think, well, why isn't it all women? That should be like seven women, or, you know, I always right. wanted like the guy roles. So I got to do the female version. Well, it was with Barbara Eden. She played Felix. And I got to be Vera. And every night I'd have to go to her, can I get you something? Or Florence, that was my character's name. And she would say, thank you, Florence. And I would just stare at her. And on stage, like with a full audience at the Apollo Theater, I would almost have an out-of-body experience of like, oh my God, this is Jeannie. Jeannie was in her bottle. And now I'm talking to her. I'm talking to the real-life Jeannie. She was like, and she's another one, so kind and so nice to me. And I would sit in her dressing room on her couch and think, I'm sitting on I Dream of Jeannie's couch for real in real life.
Weird experience I had like that was, I was a very young comedian. It was probably 1991, and I was working at a club in Milwaukee, and Rich Hall from not necessarily the news on HBO was the headliner. And I don't know what happened. Their driver left or whatever. They said, would you give him a ride back to the hotel? I said, sure. You know, it's like midnight, second show Friday. So he asked me if we can stop at the grocery store. And I said, sure. And I got out with him, and I'm like, It was like 12:30 on a cold Milwaukee night. And I'm like, I'm following the guy from not necessarily the news around a supermarket in Milwaukee. It was just so weird.
I love that.
Yeah,
I got
me
to
too.
Meet him when our touring company from Second City opened for him. I can't remember what town we were in, but I remember buying Sniglets. Remember his?
Loved it.
Oh my God. I love, to this day, I still see like white rice in a cardboard container from a restaurant, and he said, if you dump it over, he called that a woo wad, which I don't even know if that's politically correct now. But Sniglets made me laugh so much.
Oh,
the orange dust on your fingers from Cheetos.
Cheetle.
Is Cheetle.
Yes.
Cheetle.
Sorry. Yeah, yes. I stepped on your punchline. I thought you were asking. That's funny.
I just love that you're bringing up such a happy memory, because when I met him, I was like, Rachel, you're so hilarious. Like, I couldn't believe anyone that I met that I had seen on TV. I was just so fascinated.
Yeah.
Like, they're in your little screen, and now you can catch them. It's so weird. But then when I meet people, like I really have to say, the kids today, like, I was on this show called That's So Raven on the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that was one of the first shows that the Disney Channel would repeat. You know, when we were young, you'd watch one episode and you'd have to wait forever for the next episode to come on, or, you know, you didn't memorize the episodes, but these kids knew all of my lines. So still today, the kids that were watching that are now in their like early 20s, and they're working at T-Mobile, you know, the places that I need to go.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, you were my Spanish teacher. And I was like, really think about what you're saying. And they're like, you're my Spanish. And then I'll go, I was your Spanish teacher from TV. And they get so excited. So my friend Christine pointed out, she goes, Rose, as excited as you would have been to see like somebody from, you know, Beverly Hillbillies or Green Acres, they're as that excited to see you.
That's and so that, great.
You know, that freaked me out.
Get you to the front of the line. Rose Abdu is here. We're talking about her career and some of the cool things she's done and experiences. And we'll have a couple more minutes with Rose after a very brief break. It is great to have you here, Rose. We'll be right back. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on?
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
I'm talking with actress Rose Abdu. She plays Josefina on Hacks, the immensely popular HBO show starring Jean Smart. And Rose has a litany of TV credits as well. Rose, you and I were both in Relative Strangers, but not at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. So we've worked together, technically.
That's right. We were in the same. Yeah. You know, I saw that. I had forgotten the name. I feel like the name of it might have been different when we were working on it than when it came out. So that when I was watching it, I was in a hotel and I was watching it. I thought, why do I know all the lines to this? Because I didn't recognize it. But, you know, when you're in a little part of it, you don't recognize the part. Right. And then it said Harried Housewife. I played Harried Housewife in that movie.
You crushed it.
Crushed.
So I want to ask you, because I've never really done any voice work for like animated films or TV. When you've done a lot of them, what is that? Is that hard to act when you're not really playing off someone in the moment, or are you playing off someone? How do they do that?
I love it. I mean, in a perfect world, I would be, you know, in a room where there's six people around music stands and you're kind of reacting with each other, but you really do it by yourself. That's what I find so fascinating. And then when they put it together, it just all kind of works. But I love doing it. And I love when I have to match the picture, like they've already animated it and I have to like listen to the beeps and match the moving mouth of the animated character. It was so much fun to work with on Hotel Transylvania. And I got to do, I think I do like three or four characters in the first one. And then I got my own character in the second one. So she's the ticket agent. Oh my gosh. And I got to see the rendering and I was like, you know, am I wrong? Or does she kind of look like me? It was so much fun. And you know, Robert Smigel was a pal from way back in the day in Chicago.
Oh, nice. Great writer.
Right? We did a show called Happy Good Show in Chicago at Victory Gardens Theater. Nice. And then he remembered me. Do you know, Pete, this is another serendipity moment. I was looking through old papers and files, and here it was. I see the program from Happy, Happy, Good Show, which had Bob Odenkirk, Conan O'Brien, Robert Smigel, Dave Reynolds. And I was looking at the program and thought, oh, my God, I haven't talked to those guys in 20 years. The next day, the phone rang. He said, Rose, I want to give you a role in Hotel Transylvania.
What?
How weird is that?
The Church of Rose. It starts tonight. It's so weird. Follow this woman, ladies and gentlemen.
I conjure things. But that was super fun because then I got to play like a little witch. There's a short that plays before Hotel Transylvania called Good Night, Mr. Foot. And there's a little witch that checks Bigfoot into the haunted hotel. And I am the voice of that little witch. You can see it on YouTube.
So great.
So fun. And just doing like little things as the little witch. I love animation. I got to play a teacher on the new Beavis and Butthead. And I play like main. Captain Fall is a new show, animated show on Netflix. And I play a housekeeper on that also.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I heard through the grapevine, don't ask me how, but my ears to the ground. I have sources. You do a great Alice Cramden. Can you give us some Alice Cramden tonight? Would that be possible?
Because I did that in that show, Happy, Happy, Good Show. So I say, you know, when Ralph is loses his job, or Ed Norton loses his job, and he says, don't worry, I'm going to go down to that sewer tomorrow morning and get Norton his job back.
That's a pretty good Ralph Graham to do.
Alice looks at him. You're not going down to that sewer tomorrow morning, Ralph. There isn't a manhole in New York you could fit through. My favorite thing to do. You know what's so weird? I did it. I guess I was just doing that voice to do humorous reading in high school. I was competing in a forensics tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And I was doing Lucy from You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And one of the judges wrote on my critique form, she sounds like Alice Cramden. And I wish I knew who that guy was, because I want to thank him. Because before that, I never knew I could do Alice Cramden, but he thought my voice sounded like her.
Well, I'm sure your phone will ring 5 minutes after you hang up with me, and he'll call you, and that's what's happening. Yeah. Hey, Rose, before we let you go, what are you watching right now when you're not, you know, working, because you're crazy busy? What are you watching? What can you recommend?
What did I just binge? Oh, that's such a good question, and I don't know. You know, I want to plug this, because why not? Yeah. I rewatched it. I'm in a show called Reboot. If people have Hulu, it is so funny. Huh. Paul Reiser, Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, Keegan-Michael Key, hilarious, from Key and Peele, Judy Greer, Detroit Zone. I mean, it's so funny, and we play a group of comedy writers. We're trying to get this show, a reboot of a 90s show called Step Up or whatever. The name of the show is called Reboot, and I play an aging comedy writer named Selma, and it's my favorite role that I've had to this day.
Wow. So nice.
People could watch that. Maybe you listen. I don't know how residuals work. Do I get more if more people stream it? Maybe.
You should.
I should. It's really entertaining. It's one of those shows, Steve Levitan, who created Modern Family.
Yeah.
Is the creator of it. And it's one of those shows that when I would meet other actors on the picket line and people would say, I can't believe you only got one season. We all wanted a second season of that. So I think people would really enjoy the 8 episodes of Reboot if they were to stream it.
That's a great recommendation. Fantastic. Yep. Rose, this is so fun. Thank you for joining us tonight, and continued success. Oh, keep adding to that resume. It's incredible.
I just want to say really quick, we are really thrilled to have 17 Emmy nominations, and the Emmy Awards are September 15th. So we're all going to be there together. Hopefully Hex will come home with something, and season 4 is going to start. We're starting to film it September 30th.
All right. That's Josephina from the show Hex. Check it out, folks. Rose Abdu, thanks so much. Tell John hello and thank you for helping you with the technical stuff. I would need his help. I will.
Thank you so much, Pete. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Likewise. Have a great night. Well, that was fun. Conrad, do I seem in a better mood now?
You do, yes.
All right. That's all I needed was some funny girl power. That's what we had on the show tonight. Mary yeah. Mack, Rose Abdu, just great stuff. Thank you for all your texts. It was so much fun reading them. And any news on the Packer game, Conrad, with the air quality? Has that been updated?
I haven't heard anything about it since you said it last night.
Okay.
So it looks like it's a go.
Looks like you're in good shape. Tomorrow night on the show, this is fun. It's a Thursday, so we're going to do our popcorn pick of the week. And joining us from a new popcorn company is Mark Luffenberg from Laughing Mountain Popcorn. He'll be here at 6:35 tomorrow night to give us talk a little bit about his product and what makes their popcorn so good. And he will give us a movie pick as well. Then at 7:05, Greg Vadney from Sputnik Fest in Manitowoc will be here. I will be a judge at Sputnik Fest on Saturday. It's going to be a great time. We'll talk more about that tomorrow night with Greg, so tune in for that. And then Ian O'Connor is here. He wrote a book about Aaron Rodgers called Out of the Darkness or Into the Darkness.
It's Out of the Darkness.
Out of the Darkness. And Aaron Rodgers, that'll be an interesting conversation too. So thank you all so much for celebrating this festive Wednesday night with us, because we were all here together. That's why it was festive. We'll see you tomorrow night for more Nightlight. On behalf of Conrad, good night, Wisconsin. The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time President Joe Biden visits Westby, Wisconsin. In the Southwest, we will cover it for you. Have your phone calls as well. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey.
pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And